This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحم إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, again, we have a very short amount of time for Yom al-Jumu'ah, which is supposed to be brief, concise, and to the point to give you something of benefit, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on this day which is the most blessed of days. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the best day the sun raises is the day of Yom al-Jumu'ah, it's the day of Friday. This is the day where Adam alayhi salam was created, placed in the garden, exited from it, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the day of Jumu'ah, that the day of Qiyamah will not begin except but on a Friday. So this is a day that we should all reflect. Now, when we look at the confusion that's going on around the world right now, craziness, confusion everywhere, nobody knows what's going on anywhere. There is difference of opinion about every matter under the sun. And this includes within the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're confused. Trust me. We're so confused. We were confused before the media got involved in the matters. And now they've only doubled and tripled our confusion, unfortunately. And that's a sad thing that the media affects what we believe or what we think at all. Because the only truth you will ever get from the media is the date and the time. That's it. And sometimes they don't even get that right. We need to realize as Muslims, what do we need to survive in this world amidst all of this Islamophobia, amidst all of this confusion, amidst all of this aggression, blatant aggression towards Islam. All of this is paramount, it's of paramount importance that we understand what do we need, what do I need, what do I need? And wallahi, it's quite simple. This ummah needs only two things to survive. These two things, we have had them for 1400 years. They have not changed. They have remained constant. They are complete. They are perfect. They are applicable for every situation. They are applicable for every time. They are applicable for every country, for every city, for every home. These two things are our salvation. And these two things, abandoning them, forgetting them, confusing them, has been and will continue to be our destruction. Allah Azza wa Jal, Jalla wa Ala, Subhanahu, said 1400 years ago, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum islam ad-deena. Allah said this 1400 years ago, brothers and sisters, that this day, on the day of Arafah, which we witnessed very short time ago, during the farewell pilgrimage of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. Allah said about this religion, this deen, Al-Islam, as was practiced by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those who followed him, his companions, and those who follow them until the day of judgment. Allah said that this deen was kamal, perfect. Perfect. You cannot get from perfection anything else. Once something is perfect, nothing needs to be added to enhance it. Once something is perfect, nothing can be taken away from it except that it will destroy that perfection. Wallahi, our deen is perfect. It is complete. Allah said, I completed it. That means it is comprehensive. It is for every time and every place. Just because it was revealed 1400 years ago does not mean that it is not applicable in 2014. Because to say this would be to doubt this verse. And we know the position of anyone who doubts one verse out of the book of Allah, Azza wa Jal. I don't need to explain. Our deen needs nothing but to be plugged into the situation. Those two things that Allah gave us, Al-Quran, Kitabullah, Kalamullah, the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, it's with us. It's with us. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And along with that is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is an explanation, a method for implementation of that which Allah has revealed. These two things is what this ummah needs. Without the confusion, simple, go back to what we have. Those things no one can ever be confused about. You can never be confused about Kalamullah. You can never be confused about the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because these things are clear. They are clear to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخِلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَّةِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ Allah told us, O you who believe, O you who possess iman, those of you who say, أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي We believe in Allah and His Messenger. Allah says, if you believe, then enter into Islam completely. Don't leave anything out. There is no picking and choosing. Because I live here, well, like maybe I can't do this and I'm not going to do that. Allah Azza wa Jal told us to enter into Islam completely and to follow not the footsteps of our shaitan. You see, the moment we start picking from the deen, the moment we start picking and choosing, we have begun to follow the path of a shaitan, and this was the downfall of the ummah before us. The ummah of Musa alayhi salam, they destroyed themselves on this principle. They would pick and choose. They would decide, they would follow what fit in with them and what they wanted, and they would leave out that which was too difficult, or maybe they didn't understand it, or they just didn't feel like it. They would leave it out. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them in this state of humiliation until this day. They will not have peace anywhere they go. Now look at this ummah. Look at the Muslims of this time. We need to wake up. We have no peace anywhere. In the East, the Muslims are not in peace. In the West, the Muslims are not in peace. In the Middle East, the Muslims are not in peace. I guarantee you find some Muslims in Antarctica, they'll be suffering something. Why? This is what we have to consider, is that if there are conditions that are not to our betterment as Muslims, as believers, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it will be us who will inherit the earth, then what is the problem? Is there something wrong with the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal? We know this is not true. It's perfect. Kamal, perfect. Is there something wrong with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? La. Something wrong with us. Something wrong with us, and we're not learning. We're not learning. Not even learning from our past. We're not even learning from our history. And it's become a big problem. You see, this Quran is not just a recitation. It's not just something for our children to memorize so that one day they can lead salah. If that's what the Quran has become to us, then we are already doomed. It's too late. It's already too late. The Qur'an is the guidebook for humanity in every situation. in every situation. Wallahi, I have no problem swearing by the Creator of all things that there is not a situation that any human being can ever face in their life that the Quran has not addressed it. And it has not been explained in one form or fashion in the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Have no doubt about this. Everything is in this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said unto His Prophet, وَنَزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ تِبْيَانَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have sent down unto you this book that is an explanation, a expounding on all things, on everything. Do you doubt the words of your Rabb? تِبْيَانَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It is an explanation of everything. Nothing was left out. وَهُدَى and a guidance. وَرَحْمَى and a mercy. وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ and a glad tidings for those who are Muslims. So what is our problem? What's stopping us? What's confusing us? What is leading us so far away when the Qur'an is still with us? وَالْحَمْدُ. There will be a time where this ummah will not even have the book of Allah anymore. It will be forgotten so much that during the last of days, it will not exist. It will have been taken away from the books and from the hearts of people. They will know nothing about Islam except the statement of La ilaha illallah. And that would be sufficient for those people. But we still have it with us today. And we treat it as if it's just going to always be there. It's not. It's not. We need to wake up to our situation. Allah also says about Al-Quran, تَفْصِلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that it is an interpretation for all things, that it explains everything. Everything, كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, every single thing the Quran has touched upon it. This is the miraculous nature of Kalamullah. I have no doubt about that. Do I know the answer and can I pull the answer out of every single page of the Qur'an? La. That's why we have great men like Sheikh Waleed with us who can help us. And we are blessed in Minnesota. You're blessed in Minneapolis to have people of knowledge, of repute, of status who can go into the book of Allah and tell you what Allah has told you to solve problems in your life. There are so many people that don't have that. So many Muslims live in a dark area where nobody knows what the Quran means. They just know how to read it. Maybe. Wow, we are so blessed. And Allah has told us that this Quran will explain everything. Wahuda again. وَرَحْمَةً لِلْقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is a guidance and a mercy for whosoever believes. What's wrong with us? Why are we turning to anything but the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Why are we trying to have our problem solved as an ummah by anything other than what you find in the kitab of Allah and the sunnah of His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Why? We need to come up with that answer, because trust me, if you don't answer that today, you will answer on the day when you stand in front of your Lord. You'll answer then. You better have an answer today as to why you're turning to everything. When problems are afflicting you, you're turning to everything. When the Muslims are suffering, we're turning to everything. We're going to the Senate, to the Congress, to the UN, to this and that, pleading and begging. When Allah has already told you where to find the answer. And you don't need to go anywhere to get it except step a few feet across your room, pull up the Quran, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And then find the people of knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَسَلُوا أَحْلِ ذِكْرَ. So ask the people of the reminder, the people of knowledge, ask them. Ask them. Ask them. You have it here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because a lot of people are of the opinion, unfortunately, and this is also an incorrect concept, that the Qur'an is sufficient in and of itself. Meaning this book, I take it, I read it, I solve my problems, done deal, I need nothing else. This is also another confusion in this ummah. It's another confusion in this ummah. Because you cannot understand the Qur'an the way it is meant to be understood unless you understand it from the one whom it was revealed. This is a reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal the Qur'an unto any of you. He did not reveal the Qur'an to any of the scholars of Islam. He did not reveal the Qur'an to any of the companions and explain it to them. He revealed it to Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explained it to him. Then he explained it to his companions. And then they have explained it to us. This is where we get our deen. These two things are synonymous. You cannot abandon one without the other because the two go wherever each other goes. If you leave the sunnah, the Qur'an goes with it. You leave the Qur'an, the sunnah is gone with it. You cannot have one without the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says unto His Messenger, وَانْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. And we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dhikr, the Qur'an. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. So that you can explain it to them. So that you can explain it to them. That which was revealed to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. And it is perchance so that maybe you reflect. Maybe you'll think about it. Maybe you'll think that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this to our Prophet for a reason. He didn't reveal it to him to keep it to himself or just for him and his companions. It was for us. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only allowed the Qur'an to be preserved for us, but He has also allowed the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the efforts of the scholars of Islam, through the trials and efforts of the scholars of Islam to make it to you and I here today authentically. Name for me one other prophet that anyone can verify what he said at any time, at any place. You can't. Unless you go to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no ummah that can say, we know Musa said this. We have it, chains of narration scientifically proven, he said it. No one can say about Jesus, no Christian in their right mind, born and raised a Christian, can say they know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus said any of the things they claim that he said. Because there's no evidence for any of it. But Allah Jalla wa Ala has allowed you, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to still have his pure sunnah with you today. You have the blessed opportunity that no other ummah has in this world today. No other religion has the opportunity to go through the books and say that I live my life the exact same way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his life. I eat the way he ate. I sleep the way he slept. I speak the way he spoke. I dress the way he dressed. I liked what he liked. I dislike what he disliked. I do what he says and I stay away from what he stopped me from. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. Brothers and sisters, you don't understand what you have. From someone who came from confusion, trust me. From someone who came from a religion that was just take it, don't question it, live it. End of story. You'll go to heaven, one way or the other. To having a religion where I can prove everything. Everything. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us about Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُدُوهُ. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he gives you. There is no stipulation if and but and maybe and when and where and time and how. No, whatever the messenger gives you, take it. If he said do it, do it. If he said do it, do it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he forbade you and told you to stay away from it. This is not the statement of any scholar. These are the very words of the Creator of all things. These are the very words of He who holds the dominion of all things created, and He governs them. Is telling you simply a simple message. If I told you something similar, this is how far we've drifted. If I tell you whatever your father tells you to do, do it. You got that. That's black and white. You have no problem understanding that. Whatever your mother tells you to do, do it. We get that quickly. As 4-year-old children, we get that. But now all of a sudden, when Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling you whatever Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you, to do, do it. And whatever he says, don't do, don't do. Now all of a sudden, there's an ikhtilaf about everything. About everything, there's a difference of opinion and a shubahat. There's some doubtful in the matter. Astaghfirullah. We need to wake up. We are our own enemy. Trust me, the media is not your enemy. Trust me, the enemies you think your enemies are not your enemies. Shaitan is not even your enemy. Except when you follow him. Except when you follow him. And that's your choice. Shaitan cannot make any of you do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us on the day of judgment, Shaitan, when we blame him, he'll say, well, hold on 1 second. I called you, listened. Simple solution. You're in trouble. I've been in trouble. Not going to hurt me any more than I already am. We need to wake up, brothers and sisters. Really. We need to wake up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us. You see, the ulama have taught us that this verse is so important. This verse is of paramount importance to our deen, and it is part of the aqidah of the Muslim to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is so important that at the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incorporates fearing him and his punishment. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Fear Allah because Allah is severe in his punishment. Warning you that if you abandon the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you have earned the anger and wrath of Allah azza wa jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, مَا يُطَعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever has obeyed the messenger, you've obeyed Allah. You've obeyed Allah, so how can you tell me, as a Muslim, that I believe in Allah and I wish to obey him, but you don't follow the commands of his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How? These two things go hand in hand. There's not one without the other. You take it all, or just leave it all. There's no more playing games. You have to understand something, brothers and sisters. We are seeing a time of separation of haqq and batil right before our eyes. It's happening. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied it a very long time ago. And we are seeing it happen right now. If you are in tune to what's going on around you, and you are in tune with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you will see it. Haqq and batil are being separated like oil and water separates. And no matter how much the media and those who hate Islam try to shake the batil to redo it, that pure water will always come back to the top. Sides are being chosen whether you like it or not. They're being chosen for you. We need to find out where we are going to be standing when the decisions are made by Allah Azza wa Jal as to the success of this deen. Because whether you like it or not, this deen will be successful. Whether the media likes it or not, this deen will be successful. Whether the haters of Islam like it or not, this deen will be successful. Allah has already commanded it. Allah has already foretold it. Allah has already stated it. The question will be, where will you be? If you're alive, where will you be standing on that day? Where will you be standing? Also, we have to remind ourselves of something else, brothers and sisters. We have our priorities. We have our priorities a little bit askew, a little bit deconstructed. Because when you see the actions of this ummah today, the majority, when I speak of this ummah, I'm speaking of the majority of people. The people who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm not going to dissect and group up and everyone who says they believe in Allah and His Messenger, because that's the group that you're put in by the enemies of Islam. That's it. They categorize you on something I'll talk about next time through the RAND Institute, but we're not going to talk about that today. You're either fundamentalist, you're a moderate, you're a conservative, you're this and that and the third. But nevertheless, we have our priorities a bit askew. We are in predicaments throughout the globe. The Muslims are suffering. We're suffering. Here in Minneapolis, Muslims are suffering. Muslims are going through hardship. And we are going to the wrong place for a way out. We're looking in all the wrong places. We're looking, it's as if we're playing hide and seek with ourselves. And we're looking in all the wrong places. We are placing our trust somewhere it doesn't need to be placed, in people. Let me say you something, brothers and sisters. If you trust any human being the way that you're supposed to trust Allah, not only is your iman deficient, as Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah has said, that having tawakkul in Allah is a priority and a prerequisite to being a Muslim and to being a mu'min. We'll forget about that for a moment. But you'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. Human beings are flawed. We're flawed. We're going to screw up all the time. If you are fearing human beings the way that you should fear Allah, then you're in for a painful punishment in the next life. Allah has already told us that. If you fear them like you should fear me. And if you only understood, you would know to fear me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only person who the believer should fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only person that we should trust and place our trust in and have reliance on and think good about and all of the things that tawakkul means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one we should be concerned about right now, because no one can change your situation. Let me tell you that right now, no one can change your situation. The Senate's not going to change your situation. Congress can't change your situation. The United Nations cannot change your situation. No one can change a situation of this ummah except this ummah's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only thing that can change it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَقِ اللَّهِ and whosoever fears Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَاجَهُ He will make for them a way. SubhanAllah. You see, brothers and sisters, we forgot that Allah says, whosoever fears Allah, Allah will create, make, يَجْعَلَهُ مَخْرَاجًا, make for them a way out of what they are going through. You don't need to find the way. Allah جَعْلَ وَعَالَ controls all things, can make a way. Can make the impossible, as I said the last time I was standing here, possible. Can make that which cannot be done, easily done. If only you would have some trust. If only you should have some trust. وَلْيَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَتَحْسِبْ And Allah will provide for you from areas where you did not expect it. If you are compromising any portion of your deen for a little bit of this dunya, let me tell you, your logic is twisted and your iman is shot. Because the person whom you are compromising for gets their very risk that you think that they can give to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal has only commanded you to make the effort. I will provide the means. I will provide the sustenance. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, when the birds go out, not one of them comes back, but has their stomachs full. They make the effort. They don't know where they're going to get their food from. No bird wakes up in the morning with a plan to go to McDonald's. Or a plan to go to Bismillah restaurant. None of them. They all get up knowing and trusting fully that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. And none of them are ever disappointed. But we as human beings, we doubt. We doubt. We see Allah's favor in our life every day. We wake up, that's a favor from Allah. We can say Alhamdulillah when we wake up, that's a favor from Allah. But yet as soon as it comes to money, to mal, now all of a sudden we don't trust anymore. We trust in what we can see with our two eyes more than we trust in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create from nothing. We've lost our way. We've lost our way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And whosoever puts their trust in Allah. Whoever. Allah didn't say this person or that person. Allah said, whoever puts their trust in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ He's enough for them. He's enough for them. Whosoever places their trust in Allah, He's enough for them. He's sufficient. He is more than you need. Al-Ghani. The one who is rich, who creates means. And everything that comes into your life is because Allah is Al-Hakim. He's the wise. And He's put it in your life for a wisdom and a reason that you don't see. You just need to trust. Sometimes you just need to trust. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ عَمْرِي قَدْ جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete His purpose on this earth. And for all things, Allah has already destined and placed them in order. So what are you doubting? What are you worried about? You're worried about death that you can't avoid, that's going to happen. It's already written time and place, date, hour of the day, second of the day that you will meet the angel of death. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen when it's meant to happen. You're worried about getting a job. Oh no, akhi, you grow that big beard, the first thing you walk in the door is terrorists walking in. They're going to kick you out. Don't do it. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls all things. Our sisters are told, no, don't wear that trash bag on your head. Astaghfirullah, you're going to go and they're not going to give you a job. They're going to insult you. They're going to laugh at you. You might be struggling. This sister might be a single mother. She might be debating. Shaitan may be playing with her. Take it off. You'll get money. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already promised that sister and written for her sustenance 50,000 years before He created anything. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said about that writing that the pen has already been lifted and the pages have dried. The pages have dried. The beauty of the sunnah, brothers and sisters. The beauty of following the way of our mothers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And Aisha radiallahu anha said about our sisters that the most blessed of them is a woman who is never seen by a man, nor does she see them. This is our sisters, the beauty of our sisters. They keep it for themselves. Wallahi, I heard the other day a sister get called ugly. That thing you're wearing is ugly. That thing you're wearing is ugly. And she put her head down. Hala wa la quwwata illa billah. These sisters do not understand the beauty that Allah has given them. This ummah of sisters that we have are some of the most beautiful sisters. Some of the most beautiful women walking the face of the earth. And everyone should know that if they were to uncover, then the rest of the women would be ashamed of themselves. They protect that from everyone except their husband whom they choose. Have no doubt about that, sisters, you're beautiful. That belongs to your husband and whomsoever Allah has allowed you to reveal it in front of. Don't compromise that for anything. No compromise. This deen is not a deen of compromisation. You're not going to make agreements with Allah in compromise. You just need to follow that which was revealed. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَّةٍ. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I'm done, 5 minutes, يا أخوان. A couple of things I want you to remember. First and foremost, we have the most perfect way of life. Don't ever let anyone make you doubt that. Don't ever let anyone make you doubt that. Every single point in Islam, every single revelation, every single verse, every single verdict, every single judgment, all of it is perfect. It is 100% absolutely perfect. And there is no such thing as apologizing for something which is perfect. The only apology you can have is that I'm sorry you don't see it. I'm sorry that you don't see it. But Islam is perfect, every piece of it. Every piece of it is perfect. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, and this is to also show you that the sunnah is also perfect. It's also complete. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, and this is narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu an, and this is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and it was authenticated as sahih by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that I have left nothing that would bring you closer to Allah, except that I commanded you to do it. There is nothing that will bring you closer to Allah, except that I have already commanded you to do it. And there is nothing that would distance you from Allah and bring you closer to hell, except that I have already commanded you to stay away from it. Meaning that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us everything we need. Everything we need. We don't need to add to it or take away from it. وَالشَّرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst deed that you can perform is something that is innovated in this religion. The worst. Just take it as it is. You can't perfect perfection. It's already done. It's already done. Also, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he gave a sermon to the companions, and it was such a striking sermon that it caused their hearts to bleed, they said, and their eyes to shed tears. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is almost as if it's a farewell advice. So counsel us. What do you counsel us? He said, I have left you upon that which is clear. I have left you upon that which is clear. Its night is like its day. Its night is like its day. No one deviates from it except that he is destroyed. Our Prophet ﷺ said, this path that he left us on is bayyinah. It's clear. It's clear. We just need to stick to it. I'm going to give you one small story about having trust in Allah. We'll be done. It's a 2-minute story. About having trust in Allah and the fact that it is a continuation of what I said last time, that you might not know what Allah's plan is. Trust me, the plan of Allah is unfolding right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Our job right now as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to stand firm. Stand firm on what we believe. On stand firm on who we are. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَامِلَ الصَّالِحَ وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And those who say, I am a Muslim, no doubt. No doubt. I'm not going to hide. Hide from what? I can hide from you all I want, but I will never hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's going to do me no good. There is a story that was quoted by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Tabaqat al-Hanabila, about a man named Abu Bakr al-Ansari. He was also known as Qari al-Maristan. He lived, or he died in year 535 of the Hijrah. He's narrating a story about himself, Qadi Madistan. He said, I was once in the city of Mecca, and I was so hungry. So hungry, I didn't have anything to eat. Nothing I could eat. And then as I was walking in Mecca, looking maybe find something to eat, I found a pouch. A pouch. So I took it home. He opened it, untied it. He said it was the most beautiful necklace he had ever seen. Pearls. The most beautiful necklace he had ever seen. I mean, this is like a million dinar necklace going on here. Tons of pearls, beautiful. So he's thinking to himself, Alhamdulillah, Allah has provided. Allah has provided for me. So he left and went out. As he's going out again, he walked out in the streets, he heard an old man calling out that I have lost a necklace. It was in a pouch. Has anybody found it? Now this Qari al-Maristan was a believer. He was a mu'min who had tawakkul. He tried to put his trust in Allah in everything that he did. He was known for this. He went to the man and he said, I found a pouch that I think might be yours. He said, but I need you to describe it to me. Tell me what it looks like. So the man said, you know, he not only said he described the necklace, how many pearls it had on it, the string that was tied around the pouch, what the pouch looked like, what the string on the necklace looked like. So clearly that Abu Bakr al-Ansari said, I knew this was his necklace. And the man was offering a 500 dinar reward for whoever found it. So he brought him to his house and he gave it to him. And the man is ready to pay him the 500 dinar. And then Abu Bakr said, Subhanallah, I didn't do anything to earn this money. You know, it's not as if I put in some effort. I found something in the street that I was going to keep if no one else claimed it. And here I am trying to take money for the man to give him back what belongs to him. Because he didn't feel good about it. You see, there is something inside of every believer that leads them towards right and wrong. It's that little thing we call a conscience. That usually, generally will lead you in the right direction if you haven't destroyed your heart already. So he refused. And the man kept trying to force him to take the money. He said, no. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. I trust in Allah. Take it. This belongs to you. So it belonged to him and he took it. After a while, Abu Bakr said, I left Mecca and I went on a ship. He was going to go and try to find his sustenance somewhere else. Was it working for him in Mecca? He said, as we were going and the ship was transporting money, the ship sank. A storm came and the ship sank. Many people on the ship died and all the money was lost on the ship. So he said that I found a raft, something to float me on. And this is an authentic story. It's been authenticated. This is another. Scholars have related the story many times over. He said, I held onto this raft and the wind blew me and blew me and blew me until they blew me to an island that was inhabited. When I got to this island that was inhabited, I went directly to find the masjid. First place you want to go to the masjid. So I want to find the people. If he wanted to find the people, he went to the masjid, but there was no one there. So he said, I sat down and started reciting Quran. And then people all of a sudden came in. They heard me reciting Quran and they said, will you teach us some Quran? He said, yes. So they started learning Quran from him and showering him with gifts. Showering him with gifts. Then he saw that there were some pages from the Quran in the masjid. So he took them and started reading them. And they said, Subhanallah, you know how to read? You know how to read and write? He said, yes. They said, teach us how to read and write and our children and we will pay you. And they started showering him with gifts again. Now, I had been doing this for a while. They were afraid that he might leave them. So they said, there is this girl in our town, we'll be done in 2 minutes. There's this girl in our town who has just become orphaned. And we'd like you to marry her. She's known as one of the most beautiful women of this town. Would you like to marry her? At first he refused, because he understood they're trying to keep me here forever. So he refused. He said, no. After a while they kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and he liked these people. So he finally gave in and said, I'll marry her. So the nikah took place, and then they brought him his wife. And he said, as I was looking up to look at her face, I could not go past her neck. He stopped staring at her neck because on her neck, he saw the exact same necklace he had given to that old man. The same necklace he had found in Mecca is now on this girl's neck. And he's shocked. And the people are more shocked because they think he thinks the girl's ugly. So he's not looking at her face. And they're like, oh my God, you've broken this little girl's heart. She's about to have a heart attack here. We're, you know, she's supposed to be, this is all we got. This is the most beautiful girl in town. He said, no, no, no. I know this necklace. I gave this necklace to an old man in Mecca some time ago. And they all started screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. They said, that man that you gave that necklace to is this girl's father, who just recently passed away. And we used to hear him say about the man who gave him this necklace. He said, Wallahi, I've never met a Muslim so pious and so trustworthy and so dependent on Allah as I have seen this man. And he used to make dua openly that Allah would allow this man to be married to his daughter one day. He said, this is the answer of the dua of this father. The answer of the dua of this father. You see, tawakkul, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it might seem like everything is going crazy. You might be in the darkest tunnel. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla shows you the light. So he married this girl, had children with them, to make a long story short. Eventually the girl died. Another hardship upon him. Then his two boys that he had with this girl died. So he ended up selling the inheritance of the necklace that he got from the girl. And someone ended up buying it from him for 100,000 dinar. And when he was telling this story, he was explaining how he became a wealthy man. How he went from a poor man in Mecca who had not even food to put in his stomach to now he was a very wealthy man and very honored man in this place. You see, brothers and sisters, we just got to learn to trust. We just got to learn that Allah is Al-Hakim. If you believe that Allah is Al-Hakim, live like Allah is Al-Hakim in your life. It might seem like everything is turned against you. You might be ready to cry out, Ya Allah, why? Why me? What did I do? And we think that a lot, some of us. What did we do? When, if we really think about it, we've done plenty. Trust me, we've done plenty. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim and He is working things out in your favor. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said about the life of the mu'min, that the life of the mu'min is kullu khair. All of it is blessed. All of it is good. Every single bit of it. So there's not a single thing that comes to the believer, but it's not for their benefit. We just need to wake up. The Qur'an is with us, brothers and sisters. The sunnah is established with us, brothers and sisters. We just need to take those two and follow it and leave the rest in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Leave the rest to Allah. You do your part, Allah will do His part. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those of hear the words of Allah and follow the best of it. May He raise up an ummah that is willing to follow His commands and the commands of His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah raise an ummah of youth who are ready to take hold of this deen and make it a place of honor and dignity amongst mankind's eyes once again. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنصُرْ إِسْلَامَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنصُرْ وَعِزَّ إسلام المسلمين في كل مكان رحم الراحمين وأذلة الشرك والمشركين سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين